Paul Bartolow with another musical show, and this one is going to be about songs of the Civil War. The Civil War lasted almost 4 years to the day. It began on April 12, 1861, with the Confederates firing upon Fort Sumter, and ended with Lee's surrender to Grant at Appomattox on April 9, 1865. That terrible struggle, which cost over 600,000 lives, Northern and Southern, left us an incredibly rich musical legacy. Since both Northern and Southern songwriters use the same language, musical as well as verbal, to express divergent as well as similar opinions and feelings, there is a great representation of ballads and songs and stirring military marches and so forth. Ballads and songs of the Civil War are not to be looked at through microscopes or under glass. They were played and sung by everybody, and the words would be exchanged and the music would be exchanged. And we're going to try to reproduce this afternoon. I have with me today Dick Powell, who's going to play a mandolin, and he's going to be accompanied by Doug Ricard on guitar and vocals, and myself at the keyboard. And the first song we're going to do is called The Yellow Rose of Texas, this ever-popular song with the usual occasional word changes, started in 1858, before the Civil War, and caught on immediately. When the Civil War broke out, a woman named Mrs. Young wrote a new version which became, in the words of one writer, the rallying song of the West. And here we go with the Yellow Rose of Texas.
They sparkle like the dew. You can talk about your Clementine and dream of Rosalie, but the yellow rose of Texas beats the bells of Tennessee.
The Yellow Rose of Texas. And now we're going to really feature Dick on the mandolin with a song that was, it became popular in 1856, actually just before the Civil War broke out. However, it became very popular, and here's an introduction for Lorena.
Thank you.
Yes, Lorena. But now another song that became very popular, and it's still popular today, is Dixie. And patriotic songs were always not so much accurate as chauvinistic, but rather patriotic, these songs. Patriotism connotes a disinterested, self-sacrificing concern for the well-being of one's. The unofficial Southern anthem was originally entitled, "I Wish I Was in Dixie's Land." This quintessential Southern song was written by a Northerner, Stephen Decatur Emmett, or he was properly known as Den Emmett, who headed a famous troupe of minstrels. He was born in Mount Vernon, Ohio in 1815, and he died there in 1904. He wrote the song for one of his shows in 1859, and it was immediately and immensely popular. It is alive now as it was back then in Dixie. And Dick, how about playing an intro for us? Dixie. And now, at the outbreak of the war, being a border state, Maryland contained a great number of Southern sympathizers. Union troops had to pass through Baltimore on the way to Washington and were occasionally stoned and otherwise harassed. During this time, a native Baltimorean, sympathetic to the Stout and teaching school in New Orleans, wrote the song, "Maryland, My Maryland," which Oliver Wendell Holmes called the best poem of the war. Maryland remained on the northern side, so the song provoked a northern reply. James R. Randall hoped that his stirring poem would help tip Maryland into the Confederacy. The poem itself was very well received, and when set to the familiar German air, Tannenbaum, it achieved the heights of popularity. Maryland, however, remained in the Union. And here we are with "Maryland, My Maryland." Mm-hmm.
despot's heel is on thy shore. Maryland, my Maryland, his torch is on thy temple door. Maryland, my Maryland, avenge the patriotic gore that flecked the shores of Baltimore, and be for battle queen of yore. Maryland, my Maryland.
Well, for our next song, it's the Battle Hymn of the Republic. But before it was called that, it was called John Brown's Body. And both songs have the same melody, which originated in a very popular religious camp meeting. It was sung by William Steff in the 1850s. In those days of vague or non-existent copyrights, it was easy to borrow others' tunes. John Brown's Body was a popular parody telling about the famous radical abolitionists who formed an armed band that ended in a shootout at Harper's Ferry, Virginia. That was in 1859. Then Julia Ward Howe heard some Union soldiers singing John Brown's Body and was inspired to use the same melody to write her immortal battle hymn of the Republic. Thank you. Okay, now comes another stirring, very stirring piece of music. It's called When Johnny Comes Marching Home. The home bore much of war's psychic impact, and a good deal of the war's music portrays the feelings of those who waited there for their absent sons and brothers and husbands. The domestic songs complement the songs about the soldiering life by picturing the anxious, lonely families for the soldiers that were left behind. They dramatize the Civil War as a conflict of volunteers, generally maudlin, and it is instead of real professional military men. The domestic landscape is brightened by an occasional joke piece or even by jaunty optimism, as in the song like When Johnny Comes Marching Home. It expresses that the war's end will bring back the tranquility of pre-war days, which, from a wartime perspective, can be remembered euphorically. Patrick Sarsfield Gilmore was born in Ireland in 1829. He immigrated to Boston and organized Gilmore's Band in 1859. He took an old Irish anti-war song called Johnny, I Hardly Know You, or Knew Ya, and wrote new words with a new title, When Johnny Comes Marching Home, while he was on duty in New Orleans in 1861. Now, after the war, he produced two huge festivals in Boston in 1869 and 1872. He was a composer of songs and military pieces and also arranged music for band. Patrick Sarsfield Gilmore died in St. Louis in 1892. I wish to thank Leo Morenci for permission to research the materials that was used for the narrations of this show. And he has a large collection of Civil War music and annotations and history. And now we're going to close our show with Johnny Comes Marching Home. And Doug, how about taking the intro this time?
Marching home again, hurrah, hurrah. We'll give him a hearty welcome and hurrah, hurrah. The men will cheer, the boys will shout, the ladies, they will all turn out. We'll shout, hooray, when Johnny comes marching home. Jubilee, hurrah, hurrah! We'll give the hero three times three, hurrah, hurrah! The laurel wreath is ready now to place upon his loyal brow, and we'll shout, hooray, when Johnny comes marching home. And we'll shout, hooray, when Johnny comes marching home. And must shout, hooray! When Johnny come marching home.